Thank you, Daniel, and the praise team has led us in worship of our great God this morning as we're singing. And I just sat there and listened to us as a congregation, as a body of Christ, Johnston Chapel, singing praises to our God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And He died in our place and He rose again. So that now we have the opportunity to worship Him and to praise Him, have a relationship with Him. And as we focus on Mission Sunday today, it brought to mind this worship scene we see in Revelation chapter 5. And it says, beginning in verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voices of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" And John Piper in his book says, missions exist because worship doesn't. And so we support missions. We want to be a church that prioritizes missions because we want people from every nation, tribe, and tongue around this earth to hear the gospel, place their faith in Him, and worship our great God and Savior, just like we have that opportunity here this morning. So this morning, as we have this privilege, this honor of worshiping God and hearing from some of our missionaries, in Acts 15:4 it says, "When they arrived in Jerusalem, they were received by the church, the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them." And that's speaking of Paul and Barnabas as they're reporting to the church in Jerusalem there about how the Gentiles had received the gospel, and they heard a report of what was happening. And this morning we get to have the opportunity to hear a report from Glenn and Tammy Claudio about what's happening in Spain with the believers there, the church there. And then Brian Young is going to share with us about what's happening here in our own community as the gospel goes to the students and athletes in our community. So at this time, if Mr. Glenn and Ms. Tammy, if you would come and share with us about what's happening in Spain. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
A little high there, Paul and Barnabas. Well, first of all, let me just do this. If you'll just bear with me, and if you'll look me in the eyes, if you would, please. We've been in with ABWE for 21 years now, and we've been in Spain for, well, tomorrow is our Spainiversary. So we celebrate 16 years in Spain tomorrow. But this church has supported us, I think Pastor James said in the first service, 18 years. That's a long time, all right? So thank you very much. We really appreciate that. So what you're going to hear this morning is just a bit of what's been going on. So to condense 4 years into a short amount of time is a little challenging. So we're not going to share everything. We just kind of picked a few highlights and one low light. Let's be honest. Give you a real picture of what's going on in missions around the world, especially in Spain. But later on, if you have any questions, just tackle us at the table and we'll be happy to answer them. This is the front of our church. Looks just like your church, doesn't it? There's absolutely no difference. Actually, you can pick up our church and you can put it inside this whole section right here. And there might be extra room, all right? So it's the bottom floor of an apartment building, a six-story apartment building. We own the entire bottom floor, which is awesome. One way in, one way out, and that's what it looks like. Kind of blends in with the environment. And a lot of people who visit us, they'll say, "Well, we couldn't find your church." And I said, "Yeah, we've hidden it really well." Not on purpose by any means. So last time I was here, I left you with some prayer requests. And so what I wanted to do is test your memory and see how well you remember those prayer requests. So you get three options, A, B, or C. Think it over. Don't be rash in your decision. Well, it's obviously B, right? We know that, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants, he could use some prayer. But we asked you to pray for a Spanish pastor. The church that we're at now, we've been there probably for, well, at least 12 years, and maybe longer than that. And the goal is obviously to transition that church over to Spanish leadership, a national. And so we've been praying about that, seeking, looking, and this term, this past term, we actually got really excited for a while. We thought God had led someone our way. It was a seminary-trained couple. He was a Spaniard. She was from South America. He had been a pastor for a couple of years, kind of went south, took a break from it, was wanting to get back in the ministry. They joined our church. We began talking about some exciting things about how the church might be transitioned. We pulled the leadership team in and began talking with them about it. And then we got a phone call one morning in August of last year. We met with his wife. And after that conversation, we realized that plan could not move forward anymore. And so we're back at square one with that. So you can pray with us that God would bring along the right Spaniard to lead that church. The Zone is a youth ministry we have. We just take out all the chairs out of our church and break out a bunch of snacks and invite all the unsaved kids we can find from the neighborhood, from 12 to 20. Come invade our church, please. And so we have games and snacks. And then at 8 o'clock, we have a Bible study. And literally, and I'm not exaggerating, we've had hundreds of teenagers come through the Zone. And if you were to walk in our neighborhood and say, and you asked any teen from 12 to 18, where's the Zone, they probably could tell you. So we've invested a lot of time, a lot of prayer. We have probably a good core group of about 10 kids who, it doesn't matter what's going on, if the doors are open, they're going to be there, they're going to stay for Bible study. But none of these kids know Christ. Not a single one of them. So you can be praying for those teens.
We do have 4 teenagers from our church, though.
We do have 4 teenagers from our church who attend the Zone. That's true, too. Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. We also asked you to pray about there's an MK school, a missionary kids school outside of Madrid called Evangelical Christian Academy. And we both have been involved quite a bit with the school also, as kind of a side ministry, so call it that. And there was a very pressing issue before the government. For a number of years, the school didn't have any legal standing before the government. And for a while, they didn't care. They were happy with that. And then it became an issue, and it kind of affects the residency of every single missionary who sends their kids there. So when we knew our residents, we have to present a letter that proves that our kids are being schooled, that they're in a school. And so we were issuing that letter. We didn't have the legal authority to do so, and they called us on the carpet. And so we spent 7 years making sure that we could get things right. And this last term, we finally got the recognition we needed. So it is officially recognized as a North American Christian school in Spain, which is fantastic. So thank you for praying about that. And then discipleship. How important evangelism, discipleship, how important is discipleship in the lifeblood of any church? Whether it's in Coslada, Spain, or it's in Princeton, West Virginia. And so we have invested a lot of time in discipling people in our church with the goal that if I'm going to disciple you, then you're going to down the road disciple someone else. And we're going to keep that baton moving along. And so you can keep praying about that also. It's been a fun experience to get to do that. What we want to do is this. We want to kind of cram 4 years into 4 faces. Well, not really 4 faces. 3 faces and a white square. All right? And we want to just share some stories with you about just some of the great things that God's been doing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. As all of the pastors here, if you've been involved in ministry for any time, you know, things go well and then things are difficult for a while. And then things go well and then things can be difficult for a while. But in all of that, God is faithful. And God builds His church. And God is building His church. Maybe not at the same pace as a missionary in Brazil might see it, but God is building His church in Spain. And we're glad to be a part of that. So the guy with the glasses on there all by himself, his name is Vincent. And Vincent is someone that we got to meet probably less than maybe a year ago. I don't know, roughly about a year or so ago. When COVID hit Spain, at one point Madrid was the epicenter of COVID in the world. It was just increasing at such a rate. Hospitals were full. All the hallways and hospitals. They actually turned the local, there's a big skating rink in Madrid called the Ice Palace. They had to convert that into a morgue because the morgues could not hold the number of bodies. It was just horrendous. So during that time, obviously church stopped. We couldn't be in our building anymore. So for about 5 or 6 months, we did everything online. And which was not fun for me. So we went from one Sunday being in our building and preaching and giving hugs and kisses in Spain and all that kind of wonderful stuff. And then the next Sunday we were in our living room. I was preaching from our living room using our TV so I could show PowerPoint. It was just crazy. So what I considered to kind of be a punishment, God was really getting back at me, right? God was using, and this guy who lived 3.5 hours away was watching our videos on YouTube and hearing the gospel for the very first time. He was a devout Catholic, a really follower of Mary is what he said. I'm a big fan of Mary is how he put it. And so he knew someone from our church, and he moved to Madrid, and so we began having coffee together and having conversations about his spiritual walk and what his thoughts were. And right before we left in November to come back for furlough, I sent a WhatsApp to Vincent saying, listen, I'm leaving very soon, but there's no way. I cannot leave the country until I sit with you and give you the gospel again. My heart can't do it. And so I sent him the message, and if you use WhatsApp, you know. There's blue checks there, and the blue check shows that he saw it, and he saw my message, but he never responded. And I thought, well, I'm not going to pressure him anymore. I've given him the gospel. I put the invitation out there, and we'll leave it in God's hands. So literally the day before we were to leave to come back for furlough, a Sunday morning, I'm preaching at church, and before church, Vincent and his fiance come in the building, and I got a little excited. I thought, good, I get to at least say goodbye to him before he leaves. So I preached, and before they got out the door, I went down and spoke to him, and his fiance said, listen, we probably should talk a little bit. Let's talk for a while. So we went back to the kitchen at our church, and we began talking, and Vincent placed his faith in Christ. A great way to end up that furlough and come back to the States.
The next lady you see there is a lady from France, actually, but she's been in Spain for 25 or 30 years. She's married to a Spanish man. They have a 15-year-old son. She and her husband both have cancer. And so their 15-year-old says, what kind of life is ahead of me? What's going to become of me? So pray for this young man. He needs the Lord. And when we met Nadia, this lady, she had a lot of spiritual confusion and a lot of things going on in her head. She wasn't really sure. She needed to be ministered to and discipled. And she sought discipleship. And I've been discipling her since 2015, probably. And she's so sweet. She always speaks French to our children because they studied French in high school. And she's very giving. Her spiritual gift is helps. But right now she can't help at the church at all because of the pandemic. And her husband's cancer is lung cancer. He can't risk COVID. They've actually got a special letter that says their son doesn't have to go to class. He has to study at home because of their high risk. And so she's learning, though, because through one of our Bible studies about marriage, that she wants to be obedient, submissive to her husband. But she has the spiritual gift of help. So pray for Nadia. She has grown so much to somebody who just needed a lot of clarification in her salvation and baptism and things like that, to now she ministers to other people and prays for people and prays with people. A lady that she once lived with just lost her job and had no income. And so Nadia was doing practical things like buying groceries. And one day she's on the phone. She says, I'm going to pray for you, Sylvia. I'm going to pray for you right now. Can I do that? And Sylvia says, yes, pray for me now. She said, well, while we're praying, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. And Sylvia says, I'm going to get on my knees too. Which is crazy to think of an unsaved Spanish person willing to be prayed with. You can pray for them, but on your time. Prayed with over the phone, and she's going to get on her knees too. That's kind of an act of faith. Maybe, I'm probably pretty confused about what she was doing, but it's a huge step in her openness. And so Nadia is continuing to minister to Sylvia, pray for her and her situation, that God would continue to provide for her, use the situation to bring her to himself. Nadia also reads the Bible to her mother in Paris right now, because her mother is blind and can't read the Bible for herself. So Nadia said, hey, Mom, could I read the Bible to you over the phone? Sure. That's huge, too. So especially if you think about what's going on in France now, what we just heard, that it would be wonderful for this elderly couple who is in a nursing home to come to know the Lord in France through Nadia, who goes to our church in Coslada. And the second one's not as exciting. We had a visiting missionary who brought in a recent convert from his town, and a neighboring town. When she came to our church, she said, wow, this is my church. This is where I belong. This is where I need to be. And she was so excited. And she came to Bible study and she was faithful in church. We got to know the family. Glenn ministered to the dad and the son through juvenile court, going to juvenile court with them one day and just spending the whole day with them while they go through these traumatic things as a family. And we became good friends with them. She was baptized, growing, just like during discipleship time, we would read something in the Bible and she would look at me and say, wow, I didn't know that was in the Bible, but if it's in the Bible, that means I have to believe it and I have to obey it and I'm going to do it. That's huge. But there were some things we didn't quite get covered yet about the difference between what the Bible teaches and feminist belief. And the feminist belief is very strong in her. And so when we got to the point where she learned that, no, our church is not going to have female pastors. We're not going to, it's not in any of our churches that we are related to. And it's not part of who we are. And we are not frustrated with that. You don't need to come and rescue us from that and try to get us that right. And so she left.
Yeah.
And so we don't know where she is spiritually or with her walk with the Lord or her search for a church or a fellowship or anything. So but pray for her because she would be a great asset to our church. Plus she's a beautiful Christian and we want her to be back in fellowship.
Yeah. And our prayer would be that there's that militant feminism that she holds so tight, that she would see that the Word of God is greater than that, and that God would minister through His Word and through His people to bring her back to Himself. And then this last couple, they've been just a breath of fresh air in our church. They're a younger couple. They are from Barcelona, but they moved to Madrid to study at a local seminary. His name is Javi. Her name is Betsy. And so they've been in our church for about 4 years now, and they just an amazing couple. They both were working full time as much as they possibly could and studying, so they were kind of burning the candle at both ends. And then right before COVID hit last year, they both lost their jobs. The same weekend, they both lost their jobs. I remember Javi telling me that he was preparing to go home and tell Betsy that he had lost his job. And she had lost her job, and she was preparing to go home and tell him that she had lost her job. I mean, just imagine, just all of a sudden like that. And so we believe, obviously, what the Word of God teaches, that God blesses us to do what? To sit on our blessings and enjoy them. And no, God blesses us to be a blessing, right? God blesses us, and we are to be a channel of that blessing. And so we take that very seriously, not just in our personal lives, but in our church. And so during COVID, we made sure that our family was reaching out to them, making sure that they had food and that their bills were getting paid. We personally support this young couple. Our church just voted to take them on to help them finish. They actually finished, Lord willing, in May of this year. So just they're so close to the end. We want to see them be able to finish strong their seminary career, to call it like that. So,
can I just mention Betsy's health issues?
Yeah, real quick.
In the midst of all this, also, Betsy has a huge illness of some kind. Nobody in the world can figure it out, so, you know, don't try to figure it out. She's been to Mayo Clinic and everything, and she just randomly passes out and has bumps in her head or has, you know, chipped teeth and all things like that. So, I mean, one time she was leading worship in our church and her nose was bleeding, so she just stuffed the Kleenex up there and just kept going. She's amazing, but she has a lot of limitations because of the illness. And just pray for her to continue to just be strong in the Lord and not be discouraged with that.
Yeah, she has a great attitude, though. So the prayer for them is that God would provide so that they can finish out the rest of their time at the local seminary. They actually have been called into camp ministry. She, the wife, Betsy, she's been involved in camp since who knows how long. Run camp. She's qualified to do so. So God has a specific plan for them. There's a lady in our church who says, God loves you and I have a great plan for your life. So I don't know what God has in store for them. Maybe it is camp ministry. But if it could be possibly that they could stay at our church and serve, we would be open to that. No doubt about that. So real quick, let me leave some prayer requests with you as we'll be leading later on today. Pray for our children and youth ministries. Our youth ministry continues over Zoom, and we do it as we're allowed to. If the government allows us to be in the building, we're in the building. If not, we do it over Zoom. Children's ministry has been more difficult. We transitioned from Awana to something else called Viva Fun, and right before COVID hit, I think we'd done two clubs, and then COVID hit. So we were just starting it up. you can pray for that. Pray for those who are being discipled. We have a number of people in our church who are being discipled right now. The goal is obviously that they would then disciple someone else. And so pray that they'll have boldness in their faith, confidence in their faith. The biggest worry is always, I don't feel like I'm prepared to do that. After years of discipleship, and I want to say, you're so wrong, you're so ready, let me use you, jump out there. You'll make a few mistakes, you'll stick your foot in your mouth a few times, but go ahead and do it. Praise God, He'll use it. So pray that they'll have boldness. And then this sounds like a crazy request, but it really isn't. Our church needs to have the entire electrical system changed. It was built back maybe 50, 55 years ago, and we are maxing it out. And many times it'll cut off on us and stuff like that. So praise the Lord, we have all the funds to do it. God supplied. And we actually applied for permission to get the license to do it April of last year. So COVID had just hit. We were going to do the project because we couldn't be in church anyway. And the government, local government said it should take about 2 months for you to get your permission. And so for now, for 10 months, we've been waiting for that license to come so we can get that thing taken care of. It's just a small piece that will then allow us to put a new kitchen in the church so we can offer baking classes and cooking classes and all kind of, just another ministry opportunity. So pray that that'll happen. It sounds kind of odd, but it'll open up more doors for us. And probably about every 2 weeks, I get a call from the alarm company in Spain that says that the power has gone out in church because it trips the breaker. It's just old and just needs to be fixed. So pray about that with us, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Glenn, Ms. Tammy, for sharing with us. We also have the honor and privilege of having Brian Young, who is the FCA area director for our region. He covers the counties of Monroe, Summers, McDowell, Greenbrier, and Mercer. So that's a lot of ground to cover. It's amazing to hear of the access he has into our schools and to our students. And just so excited to hear about what's going on there as they go to share the gospel and make disciples of Jesus Christ. So now you'll be encouraged to hear about all that he's doing here in our area. So Brian, come and share with us, brother. Oh, wait, yeah, we'll do the video first. Thank you.
So my name is Brian Young. I'm on staff with Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in Southern West Virginia. So the mission of FCA is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Our whole strategy is to and through the coach. And so our ministry, what we do, how we interact with our students is going through our coaches, sharing the gospel with them, sharing, doing Bible studies with our coaches. And through that influence, they influence our athletes.
Okay, I'm Steve Barrett, and I'm a men's soccer coach at Concord University. From back as I can remember, I was kicking a soccer ball, playing cricket, any sport. That's the athlete part. The Christian part didn't happen until I was 23 years old. Ended up playing more basketball than I did soccer and was involved with a basketball club. Some Americans play in the club, and through their testimony, particularly one of them, I got saved. And so then it just changed my life totally. To get involved with FCA, it just seemed it was natural for me to do when I came over to Liberty on a soccer scholarship, then got a job down in North Carolina. That's when I was really introduced to FCA, and it was just natural to be part of it. It's great that you feel like you get some counsel from each other. You're not alone.
I'm Colton Thompson. I'm the head boys basketball coach at Pikeview High School. I got involved with FCA about 8 years ago when I first came to Pikeview as a coach. It's a great way to get to know kids on a spiritual level. I think it's helpful for students to be able to know you on a more personal level and spiritual level and be able to kind of confide in you and open up to you. And I think it's just been really beneficial for all the students and the athletes.
Chris Pettigo, Princeton Senior High School head football coach. Been the head coach here. This is my fourth season. This will be my 17th year here on staff at Princeton High School. Years ago, a guy here from Princeton named Earl Davis, this is probably 10, 12 years ago now, had asked me to start a FCA huddle at Glenwood Middle School. That's where I was teaching during the time. And it was something that I think I put off there. I was a little bit younger and thought I had a lot of other priorities or obligations. The Lord kept it on my heart, and it was something that we started over 10 years ago now, and it's been a blessing ever since. By far, my favorite FCA memory, FCA representative Brian Young come in and was meeting with our football team. And after the very first meeting we had last season, obviously it was a voluntary meeting. Brian gave the salvation call, and we had 17 young men give their hearts to the Lord. And all my years of coaching, I think that was probably one of the most powerful moments that I ever had. I think FCA is a great way to share the ministry. It's a great way, I think, to bring your football team or any team closer as a unit. It's been a blessing for me. It was something that, like I said, initially it was something I put off, and I'm just thankful that I was able to, that the Lord gave me that nudge to put that FCA huddle group at Glenwood Middle School years ago together. And yeah, it's been great.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. My name is Ron Young, and as said earlier, I'm on staff of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I am the area director for Mercer, Monroe, McDowell, Summers, and Greenbrier counties. A pretty wide spectrum in the southern part of the state here. And it's been incredible. God has moved in so many incredible ways right here in our backyard. I want to start by explaining what the mission of FCA is. You might have heard it in the video, but our mission is to see lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. We are very adamant on the mindset of, like, we want to see them, like I said, in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. You got to have both. And so a lot of what we do, we're all about pointing in these coaches, we're all about talking to these coaches and these athletes on a regular basis and getting them plugged into churches within the community. And God has strategically placed FCA in this unique place that a lot of even churches, it's hard for them to get into, and that's within the public schools. We have access to every public school in southern West Virginia from elementary school up. A lot of our ministries typically focus on the middle school, high school, and now the colleges. We actually just started at Bluefield State last fall, and so we're at Concord and Bluefield State as well. But God has, like I said, strategically placed us in one of the greatest mission fields in the area, our younger generation, to raise up these younger church leaders, to raise up these students to where they know the Word, they know the Lord, they have a relationship with Jesus. And so that's what we're all about. And one of the things that I want to say, just to explain like why it's needed, I'll read some scary statistics there, I guess about a month, 2 months ago, that over 70% of those five counties, 70% of people claim that they are unaffiliated with any type of faith. They're not of any type of faith, not a Christian, nothing. And in Mercer County alone, that's 58% of people say they're unaffiliated with any type of faith. And that's scary. You think that's how many students are in those homes, how many people in our community that aren't plugged into a church, who aren't in a relationship with Christ. And so, and the other thing that I've begun to realize is I'm stepping into these schools, and me growing up in Monroe County, growing up in church since I was born, my grandparents took me to church literally every Sunday as long as I can remember. I just assumed that when I stepped into the schools and ask a group of students to flip to Philippians 4, it was on the mindset they didn't have that comprehension of, okay, how do we find that? And so we started using page numbers and teaching just the very basics of the gospel. And so we have a whole generation who really hasn't fully understood how to even study the Bible or how to even open up the Bible. And so it's been absolutely incredible. And then there was another super scary statistic that I was noticing or that I saw as well, is that if you are a coach of any sport, there is a 70% chance you'll get a divorce. 70% chance of a divorce rate in coaching or in a coaching career, which is crazy. And the scary thing about that is that in the Webster Dictionary said the most powerful words in the 21st century is coach says. A coach has that much influence within a student's life, within their athlete's lives. Billy Graham even said once that that a coach will impact more people in a year than the average person will in a lifetime. And so our coaches carry a lot of weight and a lot of influence on our, in our schools. You can walk in any school, talk to any administration, most of the time they're going to tell you that the coach has most of the authority within the school, most of the respect. And so it's so important for us to look at our coaches and to pour into our coaches. And that's exactly what FCA is all about. We're all about sitting down, like I said, with these coaches and these athletes and sharing the gospel with them. Now to share what God has done over the past 2 years since I've been on staff. As you can see, there's piles of pictures kind of floating behind me. But that's what the ministry looks like. Over the past 2 years, we have gotten to where we have about 40 huddles meeting on a regular basis. That's 40 different Bible studies that is meeting within the public schools on a regular basis, and that's during COVID. Before COVID, I think we were at 56, 57 that were meeting regularly. That's within the walls of public schools, whether a locker room, whether it's full school huddles. James Monroe High School in Monroe County, we have over 50, 60% of the student population in FCA at James Monroe High School, which is incredible. And that goes for around the several different schools around the area. There are estimated impact for each month is about 5,000 students. That's typically how we how many students we reach each month, which is crazy. And the even more exciting part about it, and this is the number that just continues to blow my mind on the mindset of how God has moved in this area. There has been 200 students accept Christ for the first time in southern West Virginia alone, just in the last 2 years. And the more exciting part is we're watching these students begin to get plugged into churches, and they're watching these students lead their teammates, their peers, their staff, and their parents and family to Jesus as well, which is what it's all about. I do want to share a few stories. There was a student 2 years ago, in 2019, who decided he wanted to go to camp last minute. Like, texted me like the night before, like, hey, I want to go to camp. Like, is this possible? And me and my mindset of like organizing and planning and spending months getting this ready, I was like, absolutely not. But we went ahead and said yes. He went in and came with us. We went to St. Simon's Island, Georgia. So long trip down. I got to know this student a little bit more on the trip down. But on the very first night we were there, the student accepts Christ for his first time. And got to hear his testimony, got to hear his story. Lost his mom, dad, brother, and sister in a car accident, living with his grandma who doesn't know Jesus, didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And this student would go on to lead our Bible studies at that school for the next 2 years. Would go on to lead his grandmother to Christ and get them plugged into a church over in their hometown. And that's the power of this ministry. And that's how God is using these students, not just to transform, not just to see their hearts transform, but we're seeing families change. We're seeing teams change. You saw in the video Chris Pettigo, Coach Pettigo at Princeton High School. Last year we had an incredible Bible study with his underclassmen. We didn't have too many of the upperclassmen. We had a really solid Bible study with his underclassmen, which were the starting lineup for this upcoming season. And it was cool to watch that team transition from that Bible study into the team that we saw this past season at Princeton High School. So it was an incredible year. It's been incredible to watch how God has continued to move. One more testimony of just a situation at Concord University. We had a football player who invited his roommate and teammate to FCA one night for the first time. The student's never sat in a church, never has been anywhere around, I guess, the Christian faith. And he came to FCA one night, and I got a text to that student at, we meet at 8. I got a text at about 11:30 later that night saying that he just led his teammate to Christ in the parking lot of the dorm. And now that student is now plugged into a church over in Athens as well. So it's incredible to watch God move. It's incredible to watch how God is using these students and even these coaches to continue to share the gospel in a way that we wouldn't expect in within the public walls of the public school. Where we're going, where we're hoping and praying, this is one of the ways you guys can pray for us as well. We are in desperate need of hiring some staff in Greenbrier and McDowell County. Being in a 5-county radius with that many schools, we just can't get everywhere, and I'm the only staff person here. We have an incredible volunteer team, incredible volunteers. But we are looking to hire some more staff in McDowell and Greenbrier County so we can continue that ministry there and really pour into the students that are over there and coaches that are there. We're in the process of introducing FCA Outdoors in southern West Virginia. Same thing, falls under the same umbrella as FCA, but where we're looking at trying to pour into reach into some of these students who are passionate about fishing, who are passionate about hunting or archery to some of the shooting programs. And so we're looking at how we can really develop that in this area. it's amazing what a kid will talk about when you put a fishing pole in their hand and take them by a pond for a few hours. It's, you hear the whole life story. This past season, during hunting season, we took over 30-some students out on hunts, and four accepted Christ there, and there was two others that started to serve on leadership teams shortly after that. And so this is a powerful ministry. We believe in it. Falls under the exact same umbrella as FCA, just looking at a different group of students. And then we're in the process of raising support. And so this ministry, we are, as every missionary is, I mean, we're community supported. And so we're still looking to raise more support. Our biggest need right now is, I think we're looking at 25 people at $50 a month. So we're about $1,200 short of our goal. But before we can continue to do this ministry, like I said, we're in the process of just trying to get that support raised. We actually just hired our first staff person in Beckley 2 weeks ago, and so he just now came on staff there, so we're seeing that growth, but we still have a long ways to go. But God has been so incredibly faithful. I want to thank you guys just for the opportunity to be here this morning and for all the prayers. You actually have four members of this church who serve on our board. We actually meet for our board meetings here, as a matter of fact, and so it's kind of cool. This church has been a pretty vital role the entire process I've been on staff. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Brian, for sharing with us about the ministry of FCA. I hope that your heart has been encouraged and challenged this morning as we hear about these different ministries that are going on. And just want to wrap up by just reminding us of some ways to be praying for both of these missionaries. Continue to pray for Glenn and Tammy Clodge as they continue to minister there in Spain. Continue to remember to pray for Vincent, the man who was saved right before they came home for furlough. What a awesome thing to see in his life. Continue to pray for Nadia, who Tammy is continuing to disciple. Pray for the young lady who left the church, that perhaps she would come back and continue to be discipled under that ministry. And pray for Chavi and Betsy as they pray about God's future for them, and that they would do whatever God lays upon their hearts to do. And then a very, very great need for that ministry is to be praying for a Spanish pastor. They need a Spanish and national pastor to come and take the reins there. So be praying that God would provide that man for that ministry. Continue to pray for the children and youth ministries, the children's ministries that they're beginning there right before COVID hit. And then pray for the zone as they continue to meet and build relationships with those young people. Pray that these years of investment into their lives, that some of these young people would hear the gospel, their hearts would be tender and come to know Christ as their Savior. And continue to pray for Glenn and Tammy as they're seeking to make disciples who then go and make more disciples. And pray for the church as they seek to do the remodel as well. Now, as we think about Brian and FCA and that ministry, how encouraging to hear of the 200-plus students whose lives have been changed for eternity through hearing the gospel and receiving Jesus as their Savior. Pray for the 40 Bible studies that are going on right now. Continue to pray for those. And pray for all the students they get to interact with. And I encourage you to stop by the tables of both missionaries today on your way out. Just tell them thank you. And consider how you might be able to give to both of these missionaries and encourage them. And then be praying for staff in Greenbrier County and McDowell County. Pray that God would lead the right people to theirs, to these counties, to help in that ministry, so that more young people can hear the gospel and follow Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I go out today with an encouraged heart, a full heart, hearing about how God's working here in our own community and across the ocean there in Spain. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as the praise team comes up to lead us in a song of worship. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to hear from both of these missionaries and for their ministry, Lord. We think of Brian, Lord, that you'd encourage him and strengthen him, Lord, as he goes and builds relationships with coaches and students at the different schools. Lord, just give him avenues into people's lives that they continue to share the gospel and see young people come to know you as Savior, Lord, that they would place their faith in you, they'd grow in their walk with you, and they'd be disciples who would go out and make more disciples. And continue to provide them with the support they need in their ministry, and continue to provide them with the extra staff they need to continue to go into more schools and more counties. Lord, we think of Glenn and Tammy. Thank you for their faithful ministry over these last 21 years, Lord. Encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for those that they mentioned this morning. And Father, we pray that you would provide a Spanish pastor for that church. a man and a wife, a couple who would come along and shepherd that church and point them to the truth of the gospel and help that church to continue to grow and to follow you, Father. We pray that you'd be with the children's ministries and the zone ministry, Lord, that these children and young people that they're sharing the gospel with, that they would come to know you as Savior, that you would work in their hearts and use them, Lord, to then be able to go to their homes and their families to reach their families with the gospel as well. And Lord, we do pray for the details of this remodel, that they would get the permission they need, and Lord, that all the details and contractors and everybody for that project would come together. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you this morning for the great God that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.